I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God today. And I sent out an email last night and was talking about some of the topics that we might be discussing today. And we're going to get into some spiritual issues because a lot of people don't understand some of the basics of what Christ was doing. And one of the reasons they don't understand that is because the repentance they think they have is actually just in their head. They're still eating of the tree of knowledge. And they're not actually repenting. They've created a whole scenario, a whole view of Christ, and it's all intellectual. It's not really spiritual. They mistake emotion for the spirit. And the spirit is not really emotions. Emotions is the product of your mind and your body and your pituitary gland and your flesh. Emotions are a way in which to express what you're feeling. And it passes through a number of different processes. It's actually a lot of it is a chemical reaction due to, you know, releases of certain chemicals in your mind and your brain, kind of a Pavlov dog reward process that comes from your brain, endorphins, etc., etc. And this makes you feel good, and this makes you feel afraid, and all these things are a product of these chemical releases in your brain, which are a product of what's going on in your brain and what's happening in your brain. And your brain is your tree of knowledge. Your tree of knowledge is the source of your guiding light in your life. What you know in your head. But your spirit is somewhere else. Your spirit is this other thing that doesn't have anything to do with what's in your head. Although the spirit, as it is, you know, inclined to God, is going to affect what's in your head. It's going to have mastery over what you think. When you hear information, you will accept this information as true because the spirit leads you to do that. The problem, the only spirit that you're dealing with is not God. There are additional spirits that are out there in the universe, and they're heavily influence you in the high places of your mind. And this is what you war not against flesh and blood, the endorphins, the emotions of your body or of anybody else's body. You actually are dealing with principalities, dominions in high places. And the word high, well, the word places, for one thing, isn't even in the text. That's just added to the text. The word high is from the word Uranos. It's Epiranos, actually. I'm doing this from memory, but I know that that word high there is Epiranos. And they're not talking about from the sky. Uranos is the word that we translate often into heaven. It actually doesn't mean heaven as most people think of it. Uranos actually means world. But it can mean from the very highest point of the sky to the very core of the earth. And that's the way the Romans thought of the word as they translated it from the Greek. Now, the problem is that when you're talking about people like Paul was actually making up words. He's a little bit like Shakespeare. He was actually making up Greek words that are found in Paul's writings that are not found anywhere else in any other Greek literature. But that's okay because Greek lends itself to that idea of making up words. And because of the fact that Greek often takes, you know, one word over here, one word over here, combines them together, makes a word, and that means something new. Based on kind of, you know, examination of the combination of these two words. And Paul was talking about something that was new, so it makes sense that he would actually make up some new words. And he certainly did. But the point of what I'm trying to impart to you is that you're not war. This is not a flesh and blood journey. You want to be free. And people, you know, people read my book, The Covenants of the Gods, and they see, oh my gosh, we're in bondage. We're in slavery. We're in slavery worse than the days of Egypt. Our children don't belong to us. They belong to the government. The government doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the traveling merchants of the earth that own everything. And they have a full stock of everything you can imagine. Big long list in Revelations. And slaves and souls of men. And then most Americans think, well, thank God we live in a free country. You don't. You don't live in a free country. You're all members of a corvée system of statutory bondage, which is exactly what they had in Egypt, this corvée system of statutory bondage, which means that a portion of every day you have to work for the government. And that's just where it is. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying the government's bad. I'm just saying that's where it is. That's really where you should be. You should be under tribute. You see, that labor that you do for the government is your tribute. That's how you pay tribute. You know, they take it out of your wages. And, you know, it's income tax and property tax. Not property tax. Well, actually, income tax is a property tax. It's a tax on your labor. You used to own your labor. You don't anymore. They own your labor, and they can take 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, because they don't have the ceiling limits that Joseph tried to impose upon the people when they went under the corvée system of statutory bondage. See, a lot of people, when they study, Egyptologists who don't study the law are going to have trouble figuring out what they're finding out about Egypt. Egypt had very little slavery in it. In great periods of its history, it didn't need slavery. It had corvée. Corvée is not slavery. Slavery is involuntary servitude. Corvée is voluntary servitude, except for the fact that you volunteer back when you sign up. Once you sign up, you have to work. It's not like, you know, like the sergeant. I've given this example many times. The sergeant who comes in and tells the troops, okay, I'm looking for 3 volunteers. And he points, you, you, and you. And they say, wait a minute, Sarge, I didn't raise my hand. And I says, well, you're wearing the uniform. You volunteered back when you put on the uniform. And see, you, everybody in America, everybody in the United States, has volunteered for a corvée system of statutory bondage because you wanted benefits. You wanted free education. See, you were a socialist. America became a socialist nation way back, 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Well, 100 years ago, anyway. Because by 1910, most people were being educated in public school, even though people like Thomas Jefferson said that public school was only for the absolute indigent and poor. He was for public school, but he was only for public school for people who were absolutely indigent, absolutely impoverished. They had no other means to provide education. And even then, his version of public school was mostly funded by private donations. It was just helped by, you know, the public coffers. Personally, I think he was wrong. It's like saying that, you know, we're just gonna sin a little bit. Public coffers are coffers that are. I mean, you should read Davy Crockett's discussion of what should be funded by the public coffers. Yeah, Davy Crockett, you know, not Fess Parker or your movie version of Davy Crockett, but the real guy who was put up against a wall and shot at the Alamo as a spy. And, of course, he was a spy. He was sent by Thomas Jefferson. So, anyway, the reality is most people don't know history. They watch TV and they think they know history. That's part of that tree of knowledge thing. See, once you depend upon the tree of knowledge as your guiding light, all evil has to do is manipulate the knowledge that you have. And it can get you to do anything it wants. And it does on a regular basis. Because you're not walking in the Spirit. I mean, all these people go to church and they get all worked up. And, you know, I was watching a preacher the other day. He said something that I thought was really good. So I thought, well, maybe I can find him saying this on video. So I looked up the preacher on YouTube. And I pulled up a number of different sermons. You couldn't hardly understand him. The sound system was so terrible. But he was jumping all over the place and getting the people all worked up. And that's the style that they use there in that church. They get everybody worked up emotionally. And people say, oh, I felt the power of the Spirit. No, you just felt adrenaline. You guys were drugged up. That's not the Holy Spirit. You just got drugged with endorphins because you got everybody all worked up. They do the same thing, you know, if you went down to Haiti and watched the voodoo ceremonies. They get everybody worked up and their eyes are rolling back in their head and they're screaming and yelling. It don't matter whether they're saying Jesus or Satan. Has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. And you can see that. They might use the word Jesus. They might say these words. But this is not the Holy Spirit. Now, am I condemning the person? No, I'm just telling you how it is. I'm just explaining how it is. And you get the same thing if you go to Catholic churches, except for that they don't do all that jumping around. Or charismatics do. But, you know, the old holy rollers and all those kinds of things. I don't know, that may be before most of your time. But revival deal, they're a lot more. You know, I used to live right next door to a Baptist church in an area of San Francisco. And it was a black neighborhood because that was always cheaper rent in those places. But boy, I tell you, Sunday morning, that building rocked. I mean, it just rocked. I mean, you could feel vibration in the apartment complex next door coming up through the floor because those guys were just getting worked up. And they thought that was the Holy Spirit. That is not the Holy Spirit. That's just getting worked up. That's drugs. It's natural drugs. It's adrenaline. It's all exciting. But it's not true. Now, there's a lot more subtle ways of eating from the tree of knowledge, where you don't get all worked up. You get very intellectual. You talk about things, you know, you put all the information out, you know, and you talk about it this way, and you talk about it that way, and we're going to look at this from every angle. We're going to use our brains, you know, and you see huge amounts of expounding of how things put together and fit together. But it's still tree of knowledge stuff because you're not walking in the Spirit. So anyway, one of the things that I was sharing with people last night on the ministers group is I was trying to explain to them about how certain things operate in spiritual realms. How they work, how they function in these spiritual realms. And it was an email for those who want to go back. It was, let's see, what was it? I was trying to think of what it was entitled. And see if I could pull it up here. And I'm actually not finding it right offhand. But anyway, I'll find it eventually, and I'll let you know what the title was for those of you who are on the ministers group and were able to read this. I'm looking at so many emails that went out last night that I can't even find them all. I'm hoping it went out. But anyway, I was talking about this same idea of, you know, we war not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities in a spiritual way. So how do you do that? How do you let the Holy Spirit in to your heart and your mind so that it's showing you the way? What does that feel like? What does that look like? I'm eliminating the idea that it looks like somebody getting all worked up, full of emotion, and arbitration in that way. It does not. It does not look like that. It's not people all worked up. It's not people all excited and, jumping around. It doesn't require a lot of music. We see movies of somebody, supposedly getting a divine revelation, and we know that because of the music in the background. And they usually, they want to get lighting from, a certain source, and it shines on their face, and they, like, oh my gosh, it's an angel appearing, and, we get all worked up about that. But that's not actually the way it works. It's not about emotions. The Holy Spirit does not get you all worked up. And, one of the ways you could know this by words, and of course now I can only talk to you about these in words, is because it's referred to as the still, small voice. Wow. Still, small voice. So this still, small voice is not going to create all kinds of emotions. It's not going to have a band come with it, or an orchestra, with the 100 violins and strange lighting. It's just going to let you know. It's going to be absolutely at peace when it awakens you to what is really going on and what is really the will of God. It's a very peaceful and, you can't even hardly describe it. Well, one of the ways, if you look in Psalms, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by still waters. So that's what he's doing. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to be like. It's going to be as peaceful. I don't know if you've ever, been laying in the shade on a grassy knoll and resting there, and the temperature's just right, and you just lay there and you're kind of drifting between being asleep and awake, and it's just, and the sheep are all bedded down, and everything is peaceful, and you almost float. There's nothing else pulling on you or distracting you. It's just comfortable. Just comfortable. That's what the Holy Spirit is. That's why they call it the Comforter. See, there's words trying to point to something. The Holy Spirit is not a big band. It's not drums pounding. It's not people dancing around and screaming and eyes rolling back in their heads. And, that's something else. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not long intellectual explanations where everything makes sense. It's just comfortable. It also is not making you afraid. People say, well, the Spirit in me is showing me that this is bad. Because my spirit twinges and shuns this. Oh, I can't go there. And it kind of gets squinty-eyed look in your face. That's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't operate from fear. It doesn't make you afraid of the evil. It's a comforter. It's not going to prod you with fear and anxiety. So if something is making you afraid, something is making you uncomfortable, write this down now. That ain't the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is just like a peaceful guiding light that carries you in a particular direction. You don't even feel carried. You feel like you're in this bubble of protection and comfort. You don't even think of it as protection. Because if you were thinking of it as protection, it would mean that there was something out there to be afraid of. You don't even think of anything out there to be afraid of. It's just the fear is not in it. There's no fear in the bubble. You see, so these are signs telling you, whoa, hey, if there's fear and anxiety involved, it ain't the Holy Spirit. It's something else. It's one of the things I used to say to my kids, when in doubt, don't. Because there's no doubt in the Holy Spirit. There is perfect contentment when you're moving according to the Spirit. And all those other places where you don't feel, you know, that's something else interfering with the signal. That's static on the line. And it can also be a hint as to where you have problems still. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into, you know, what are the problems? How do we know where the problems are? I mean, Christ took the kingdom away from the Pharisees because they were not bearing fruit. Because they were not tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. That they were cruel and judgmental. They were using the law in a wrong way, in a wrong spirit. Like Paul says, the law is spiritual. Jesus says it's not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit of the law. And again, what's that Holy Spirit? The Comforter. That's if the Spirit is not giving you comfort, it's not the Holy Spirit that's nudging you, pushing you, manipulating you. So what is? But I felt this deep down inside, this uncomfortableness. As if God was trying to tell me something's wrong with this. But God don't work that way. God doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. He sends you the Comforter. He doesn't prod you like cattle up a ramp. So the problem is, now, I'm not saying that when you have these feelings that there is no Holy Spirit involved in your life. I'm saying there's something else there that is pushing and prodding you in the wrong direction, manipulating you, pulling your strings, pushing your buttons. And we're going to take a look at what those things are and how they operate. And I figured out where I put that email. Actually, I figured it out a while ago. But we'll talk about this when we return, along with what the church should really be doing, how it should be working, so that it has the protection of the Holy Spirit. And we'll do that when we come back. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And we're talking about the tree of knowledge, your brain, your head, what's in your head, what you figured out. I mean, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we were not supposed to eat from it. And so what is that? Is that a metaphor? Was there an actual tree there? Did the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil actually look like an apple, like the Renaissance painters always do? And of course, we know that the Renaissance painters only painted it that way so that he could paint a naked woman and a naked guy standing in front of the tree. I mean, that's why they did it. But that's not what the story is really all about. Even the word naked doesn't have anything to do with being naked. But that's another story. We'll get off the topic. And of course, they were trying to stimulate your imagination, which is in your brain, and your emotions, which is what your brain does. It produces your emotions by releasing endorphins and numerous chemicals. I could go through a big long list of multi-syllabled names, but the point is that's when you take outside chemicals like smoke marijuana or take other, you know, hallucinogenic drugs or methamphetamines, you're messing with your mind. You're chemically causing your body to either produce endorphins or to shut down parts of your brain so that other parts begin to overreact, or somehow or other you're manipulating your mind chemically from outside. I mean, I can manipulate your mind by kicking you in the shins. You have a huge rush of endorphins, but your shin would hurt really bad. but that's all flesh and blood. All those emotions, that's flesh and blood. Flesh and blood does not reveal who Christ is. You know, I have a grandson. He is a list maker. He wants a list of things to do, and then he goes out and does them. He just loves that. And I actually have a son who has a similar pattern. They like to do something, finish it, and it gives them a feeling of accomplishment. And what is actually happening, if you hooked up electrodes to their brain, is endorphins are released when they cross that item off, when that's finished, when they can see what they've done, and it's completed. And that's good, because it allows a person to function in the world and actually get tremendous amount of things accomplished. And it's a driving force in their body and in their mind, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It is the tools that they were given in the flesh, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And intellectual people have more to overcome because they got a bigger tree of knowledge. And so, what gives us access to the tree of life? What keeps us from having access to the tree of life? I mean, there's this angel put up there, supposedly. I mean, that's the way the story is partaken to us. There's this angel that's put up there. And that angel has got a fiery sword, you know, kind of like a lightsaber. And he's keeping you away. He's driving you out of the garden. And that's not actually what that means. If you read it in the original Hebrew, what they're actually really describing is that angel there is a beacon of light. And you now fear the light. So you fear the tree of life, and you're running from it. He's not trying to keep you away, but you can't get to it unless you enter that light. You see, I mean, what did Adam and Eve do first in the story? They hid. They hid themselves. They tried to cover up their nakedness. Nakedness really has to do with lack of authority. They had no power to decide good and evil. They just didn't have that power. They were naked. Their brains aren't big enough to take all the information in the universe, figure it out and then know what's good and evil and what's right to do and what they have to do in this situation or what they have to do in that situation. They just don't know. Their brains aren't big enough. They're naked. So anyway, you're not kept from the tree of life for any reason except that you don't repent. You won't face the tree of life because you don't want to see the light. Because when you see the light, you see how naked you are. And that's very humbling. And you don't want to be humbled. You can't turn towards the light because you won't want to be humbled. You won't take your shoes off this holy ground that you have to walk upon to come near the tree of life. So now, you know, I'm throwing out symbols here to try to get you to follow this. Because you want to be free, right? You like we started talking at the beginning of the show, Covenants of the Gods. It shows you 15 chapters. It shows you you're not free. Your children aren't free. Your churches aren't free. Your government's not free. You're in bondage worse than that of Egypt. And all this idea that you live in a free country and the greatest country in the world is hooey. It's foolishness. You don't. You don't live in the greatest country in the world. You do live in a very, if you're in the United States, I mean, people are listening to this all over the world, so, you know, I don't know what country you live in, but the reason I know that none of you live in the greatest country in the world because none of you live in a great country. You all live in systems that are full of sin and iniquity. But you should. You should live in those, and you should be subject to them, and they should charge the heck out of you for being there, because you should be under tribute. Now, why should you be under tribute? Because you're slothful. That's what the Bible says. Slothful should be under tribute. So if somebody wants me to tell them how to be free and not be under tribute, I'm not going to tell you how to do that if you're still slothful. For one thing, you wouldn't even understand it. And you wouldn't be able to do anything about it because you're still naked. But anyway, let's not get too many symbols here. I'll get your mind spinning out of control. There's another reason why you should be under tribute. Why you are actually merchandise. Why you're nothing but a human resource for giant machineries of governments all over the world, all countries. In churches. Because most churches are run the way the governments of the world are run, you know, one way or another. They're not run like the early church. I don't know any church, really, that's running like the early church was. I strive to be that part of that church, that his church, you know, what Jesus really intended. But I'm not there yet. And I can't say that all the people that are working with us are there yet. But that's okay, because we were told to seek it, not jump in it. You know, because we can't jump in it. We have to seek it. We have to turn around, repent, and start heading back to the tree of life. The other reason you're in bondage, besides the fact that you're slothful, is because you're covetous. You covet your neighbor's goods. That's what you do. You covet your neighbor's goods. And that's just the way it is. You've been doing that for a long time. Like I said, since 1910, half of everybody in the United States were going to public schools. That's socialism. Socialism, anything that reeks of socialism reeks of coveting your neighbor's goods. You want benefits at the expense of your neighbor. So how can he provide that unless he gives you some of his goods, some of his labor, some of his money, some of his whatever he's got. He's got to turn it over to the government, and the government redistributes his wealth so that you can have benefits. That's coveting. I mean, that's the definition. Socialism is the definition of coveting your neighbor's goods. And since Jesus said, Moses said, Paul said, Peter said that thou shalt not covet. All the prophets said thou shalt not covet. From Abraham to Moses to Jesus Christ to John the Baptist. They were all saying this basic theme. Anyone who wants to be a socialist is neither Christian nor Jew. And if the Muslims really were following Abraham, because they claim him as a prophet, then you wouldn't be a Muslim. You know, I mean, Muslim, that's the big talk of the day. I don't have any I really don't care about these labels of Christian, Jew, Muslim, because they don't mean anything. They're labels. They're man-made labels that you put on people. Say, oh, yeah, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. They don't know what they're saying. That's all over there in the tree of knowledge. I mean, they're all a bunch of yahoos. Now, you know where the word yahoo comes from? I believe it originated. I don't know if it originated there, but it certainly is in there. In Gulliver's Travels. So if you read the book, you can go find out what a yahoo is. And most people are yahoos because they're all running around in the tree of knowledge, dumping their feces on everybody else. That's what the yahoos were doing, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time since I read, half a century since I read Gulliver's Travels. But anyway, we're out there fiddling around in the tree of knowledge. You want to be eating in the tree of life. How do you get there? How do you get close to that? Well, you have to turn around and have to head towards it. And what I'm telling you about, you know, if something is making you uncomfortable, if it's something is twinging you and making you feel bad, and all, that's not the Holy Spirit. But it's something. It's a clue. It's a little clue that's trying to show you what's wrong. You got something in your temple. You know, when you finally arrive at the Holy Spirit, you hardly even realize that you arrive at the Holy Spirit. Because, like I say, there's no band to welcome you. You don't get the music, you know. You know how they used to, you know, the Jaws music. Dun, 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 whatever it was. Whenever you hear that, you know, if you're out in the water, you start looking around because you know that shark's there. Because what it's doing is that music is keying certain emotional responses in you, feelings in you, because that music can actually cause endorphins to be released in your brain, and you're being guided by the music. Follow the music. You don't want to follow the music. The music's not going to lead you to the Holy Spirit. But if the music is affecting you, you know, hey, that's not the Holy Spirit. If you judge by the fruits, that's how you know the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is by the fruits. Obviously, if somebody's murdering and raping and killing, we know, hey, that's not good. That's easy. But there's a lot more subtle not goods, but they still contain messages. You know, many of the people that listen to us have made progress towards the Holy Spirit. They have done some repenting. They have begun the process of turning around and waking up. And some of them have actually started acting upon what they've seen. You know, and a lot of the people listen to this radio station, they have realized some things. And they've woken up to some truths. But the truth that you need to wake up to mostly is your present state of bondage is your fault. Mea culpa. Your fault. And it's because you've been slothful and because you've been covetous. Now, that being said, I'm not going to say that it isn't partly the fault of your parents and partly the fault of other people in the world and conspiracies and all these other things. But the reason you're subject to it is because you're not eating of the tree of life. I mean, can you imagine that you could heal the sick, raise the dead, give sight to the blind, sometimes just because your shadow passed over them? Now, a lot of people aren't going to believe that's true. You got close enough to cast a shadow to them, and suddenly they were healed. Your presence had that effect on them. But was it your presence? No, it wasn't your presence. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people don't believe in spiritual things and realms and everything. They just have to go listen to our shows on quantum and string theory and everything like that. Very scientific approach. And explains that there is heaven and hell right here, now, all around you. And you're either plugged into one or plugged into the other. You actually can be plugged into both a little bit from time to time. You know, kind of like the lights flickering back and forth. I mean, that's the way most people live their lives. They get little inklings of the Holy Spirit and they act upon it, or they don't, or they're drawn more towards evil. The problem is this spiritual power, this virtue, as it's called in the New Testament, that flowed through Christ, flows all the time. It's always in motion. It's always connected to the letter M or Mem in the Hebrew, which means to flow. It's a current. It's flowing. Like gravity seems to create a current. It flows. Energy flows. Light moves. It's not static. You know, when you have life and you lay down that life, then you can get life more abundant. If you try to preserve that life, you lose it. That's why greed, you know, we see greed, somebody, you know, the Midas who gathers all his riches and his gold and his stuff, or maybe it's survival equipment and all this stuff, and this is going to save him, everything. It's not. You know, somebody actually was suggesting that, you know, that we give a bunch of money to these men and it will help set them free. That is so foreign from the Holy Spirit, is ridiculous. I mean, it's just completely contrary to what the Holy Spirit is all about. They didn't see that. They missed that. They couldn't understand that. Why? Because they've come to a wall on their journey. This is a spiritual journey to liberty. Because your journey to bondage has been a spiritual journey. You've been moving towards bondage for 100 years in this country, actually more. I mean, generation after generation have always been returning. You know, doesn't the dog return to his vomit and the pig to his mire? Of course. And that's why you're back in bondage again. Worse than that of Egypt. You know, because that's where you've been going all the time on a regular basis. You've been slothful and you've been covetous. And your parents before you were slothful and they were covetous. I mean, some of them were really nice guys and they were good. And they're, you know, I'm not condemning them to hell, but I can't help you find liberty unless I talk about the problem that still remains with you. And the problem that still remains you is creating spiritual blockage. It's a wall where your spirit will not go beyond. And when you meet that wall and you do not go beyond that wall, you lose what Holy Spirit you have. I have seen this time and time again where somebody is moving, they're learning, they're waking up, they're beginning to understand. And then all of a sudden they meet this wall. It's made of many bricks, vanity, pride. And they can't get beyond that wall. They don't want to go beyond that wall. They become static. What happens to water? I mean, the Holy Spirit is equated with water. What happens to water when it becomes static? It becomes stagnant. That's what happens. You become spiritually stagnant. Sometimes I refer to it as spiritually constipated. How do we get a spiritual enema that gets the flow going back again? How do we get past this wall? And each of us have that wall. Actually, each of us have many walls. As soon as you get past that wall, guess what? You go down the road a little bit more, you'll come to another wall. You can get past them. And Christ tells you the way. He's telling you the way to liberty because he's telling you the way to spiritual liberation. What is he liberating you from? He's emancipating the evil that is in your heart. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He talks about cleaning that temple out. If you don't clean that temple out, demons are going to enter in and inhabit you. You know what they're going to do? They're going to make you twinge. They're going to make you feel uncomfortable. They're going to make you feel, you know, hungry. You know, you maybe have an eating problem. They will give you phobias. You'd be afraid of heights or spiders or snakes or all kinds of things. Little bubbles of anger, resentment will pop up. And you know this is because you're reaching out to stuff, you know, marijuana, drugs, food, things to make you comfortable. Because you know why you need those things to make you comfortable? Because you haven't got the Comforter. You're not walking in the Spirit. Now, you've been touched by the Spirit. Almost everybody has to one degree or another, probably many times. It may have even done things to save your life. It actually, you know, did things, you know, awakened you to certain things that saved your life just in the moment. You know, maybe you were headed somewhere and you were about to be killed and it deterred you. And you know that was the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is flowing. That moment back then was that moment back then. What about your moment now? Because the Holy Spirit is in motion. It listeth where it wills. It's constantly flowing. How do you get that flow coming through you? And when the virtue flowed out of Christ into that woman, more virtue flowed back into Christ, and he had life more abundant. Because he allowed himself to be a conduit to somebody else with faith. What was that faith? That faith was a willingness to look at the tree of life, to see yourself. That woman has spent her whole life, all of her money, going to doctors, trying to solve her problem. All she had to do is turn around and look to the tree of life, and it would flow into her. But she wasn't ready to do that. She wasn't willing to do that. She thought she could fix it with her money. With her doctor. That's where her faith was, with the doctors. Suddenly, she moved her faith from the doctors to something she saw in Christ. Peter's shadow fell on lots of people, but they didn't all get healed. Why? What did Christ say to people when they were healed by his presence, by his touch, by his word? Your faith has saved you. Your faith is letting go of the fleshly comforter that has been giving you comfort and willing to take with the light that comes with it the comforter that from the tree of life. Because when that light comes with it, you're going to have to see the evil that you have done. See yourself as you really are. We're going to continue this. We're going to get in really deep here. And we're going to show you the Bible is telling you how to be free. And have the power to remain free. We'll do that next on Keys of the Kingdom.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.